This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in the Allo Communications Studios. I'm Tanner Schwint.
Brian Carey.
Okay. Yeah, that is.
Sorry, I have name Tourette's. It just comes out now and then. Henry.
Also joining us in the Allo Communications studios is Paul Knopfsinger. Paul, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Hey, go ahead. Get right up on that.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm on that bad boy.
There we go.
How's that?
Now, Paul, I've known Paul for a few years.
Yep.
We got to work together and
did a show, a convention or some motivational thing. Yeah.
Creative workshop thing where somehow me, you, and Reggie Rivers of the Broncos were the three people talking.
And if I remember right, I was the opener at like 7:45 in the morning, which was a little bit odd.
It was very good morning and have your breakfast. Here's some magic.
Well, most of my shows, 80% of my shows I perform on Bourbon Street and they don't start till 10 o'clock at night. I usually have a cocktail in my hand.
Yes.
So it was a little bit weird having a cocktail in my hand at 7:45 in the morning.
It was, but you weren't alone. I was there, too. That was
It doesn't say I wouldn't complain about that either.
Yeah. No, he got to start the show when there were people there, because everybody's there at the beginning, right?
All right?
So he gets to open the thing and do that. Reggie then gets to be the speaker right like in the middle of the luncheon. And when they told me, look, you're going to go last. And I'm thinking, oh, great. You know, Paul's opening for me. Reggie Rivers is opening for me. Then it comes to me. Reggie gets done. Everybody leaves. And there's like 11 people left for me to inspire with my story, you know, which I tried to do.
And they were just collecting the leftover giveaway bags is what they were.
It's so true.
They needed more pins and pads, so they stayed for Brian's part.
It's exactly right.
So, Paul, how do you even give a bio out on what you do? We were talking a little bit about that.
So I think the short of it is I spent about 17 years in finance sitting behind a desk. And right before I turned 40, I decided I didn't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, there's a great Ernest Hemingway quote that I kind of live by, that a man dies two deaths. The first death is his natural death, and the second death is when the people quit saying his name. And I have a 16-year-old daughter now, and she was 10 when I quit my job. And she was never going to brag that I was really good at Excel spreadsheets. She was never going to tell her grandkids, oh man, you should have met my dad. Sometimes he worked 60 hours a week, So I just decided I kind of owe it to myself and my kid to kind of pursue a dream. So I quit and I started writing a show called The Mystery Collection. And within about 6 months, I was a consultant for America's Got Talent and Penn & Teller Fool Us, and started working on a consulting for a documentary, doing some magic effects for a documentary on Anton LaVey.
Wow.
And that's a whole nother story.
Oh, you can talk seriously. The stories that this guy could tell.
And then I started doing some shows, and it just kind of took off. And I'm the luckiest kid in the world. This is what I get to do. I get to fly. I've been on over 25 airplanes so far this year, flying and visiting new friends and old friends, and doing shows in new places.
So I've always been interested in this, and I know you can talk, you can speak on this a little bit too. How do you determine what material, you know, to keep in and whatnot? Because you look at a stand-up comedian and they write these jokes that sometimes they think are the funniest ones, and then the audience just doesn't respond. I'm sure it's the same way with magic, right? There's certain tricks that you're like, wow, you know, I'm pretty impressed with myself, and then you perform it.
Absolutely.
So how do you perfect the show?
My show, and Brian's seen parts of the show. The show's really not, and I hate to say, it's really not a magic show.
Right.
I mean, it is, but the tagline that we've come up, some friends and I have come up with for my show, is it's an evening of intimate mystery and illusion. Because magic show has a bad connotation to
it.
We
were just talking about that.
No, you do. You have an amazing thought.
I hate magicians. They're the worst people in the
See?
World.
I told you. I just said that earlier this morning. Not that I hate magicians. I'm glad you're here.
But
I was telling him, I'm like, magicians have a bad rep.
They're the worst people in the world. They're thieves, and they're inconsiderate, and they're egos. I mean, come on. Why does a magician cut a woman in half? Because he can. There's no mystery on that, right? I mean, when a magician is a card trick magic. If you could do magic, would you pick what card? I mean, if I could read your mind, would I want to know what card you're thinking of?
No. That's such a good
right.
Point.
I mean, that's crap.
No.
I mean, I do ghosty things where I talk to ghosts and spirit communication, that kind of stuff. Now, if I have a ghost in the room, which is the closest you're ever going to get to talking to God, am I going to have him decide tell me what your birthday is, or tell me the, tell me the name of your dog. That's insulting to adults. Then I'm gonna talk to God and I'm gonna have him tell me the card you're thinking of. Come on. So I hate magicians. To answer your question, I work on stuff all the time, and sometimes I come up with ideas, for lack of a better term, the trick, or sometimes I come up with a story, and I put them together and I try them out. I have shows in my basement every once in a while with a small little group of people that I trust to give me their honest opinions. I've got boxes and boxes of failed ideas of things that I got to a certain point and said, it's not for the show.
Have you ever had an example of when you thought something was really good and you performed it and it flopped?
Yeah, there's been a couple that you expect a reaction and it falls. And comedians are the same way. Being funny is hard. And we can talk about this a little bit when we talk about the show coming up. There's a couple times that I haven't got the reaction. There's also the opposite. I've got a routine where it's about movies, and I came up with this really good joke about movies. The joke is that people ask me where I get my inspiration, and I say I get my inspiration from books and movies. As a matter of fact, the other night I watched this amazing documentary on drugs, and I liked it so much I'm going to start watching all my movies that way.
That's right.
Well, when I came up with that joke for my show, I needed a routine on movies. So I found one that was marketed routine that a lot of magicians do, and I bought it, and I do it. It's one of the highlights of the show.
Really?
And I did not expect it to have the punch that it has. And it's one of the most requested, most commented things.
No, yeah, go ahead. No,
you'll have a show. You've got it set, and you've got one coming up, which we're going to dive into in a second. But are you ever done? I mean, are you constant? Is your show constantly evolving, or do you have a set? Okay, this is it for this year.
That's the thing about doing shows in Greeley, and I don't do shows very often in Greeley. This was my second one, and probably my last one of the year, but. It's part of the downfall of having a repeat audience. You know, think about this. Comparing it to music or comedians. If you go see Sabbath and they play a new album and then say thank you, good night, you're going to be upset.
Yes, absolutely.
You didn't go to Sabbath to hear new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if you go see, you know, Bill Burr and he does his Netflix special.
Right.
You're going to be upset. So I have to tie in new stuff and I have to tie in old stuff to kind of keep it. But I do have for shows that where I know people haven't seen me. I was in Hartford, Connecticut a couple weeks ago, and I just packed up the show and took it. And I have a staple show that is 90 minutes that just goes with me. And so that's kind of the main framework of the show.
Yeah, that's why I always did it in comedy too, whereas I went in with a routine, and there's times where I would start out and go, this is a great routine. Wrong audience. All right, I'm going to have to shift, you know, and you've got to go on the fly, and I know you do the same thing.
Well, some of my jokes fly really well in New Orleans, but not in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay. Yep, I can see that.
So, but I always pack, and I'm sure you were the same way with stand-up. I always pack about 4 or 5 routines extra. And
yes.
So it's a fluid set. I don't just go check them off as I go down. I a lot of times things get cut in the middle of the show or get added in the middle of the show where everything's just available.
Well, I always think reading the audience is such an interesting trait and tool that some comedians, some entertainers have and some don't. Is it normally like 2 or 3 jokes or tricks that you do that you don't get the response? Because you don't want to do the first one and then just, you know, abandon the game plan, right? Or am I wrong on that?
Sometimes you need to shift the audience. Sometimes you'll get them. They're not with you at first because they haven't gotten you yet. And then you're able to bring them in. You don't cave in completely
right
on
okay.
what you're doing. And I would think especially with Paul's.
Well, you know, the very first paid show I ever did, I opened with a classic in magic called The Tossed Out Deck. And one of the audience members lied to me. She lied to me. She lied on what card she'd had. And so I just – that disrupted my whole show. But now I've done – I don't know. I've done 500-600 shows since then, and it's just I know what's going to hit. I know my opener's always going to hit. It's been tested.
Yeah.
So usually I don't throw in the new stuff until sometimes after the show. I say, hey, if you guys want to stick around, I've been working on something, which is a great line because I could be – I've got a routine that I've been doing for 3 years that every audience sees. I say, okay, guys, this is brand new. I just got this. You know? I'm trying it out. You guys are the only people that have seen this. Are you cool with that?
Paul Knopfsinger with the Mystery Collection. So when's the date for
– It's Friday the 29th. It's coming up in two weeks. Two weeks from Friday.
It's
at 477 Distillery. Distilling. Matt Estrin has been one of my biggest supporters, and he's let me do several shows there. And it's one of my favorite places to do shows.
I want
to
come.
Yeah, well, you come. I'll put you down on the
list. No, I really want to see your show.
Well, tickets are on sale now. If you go to the Mystery Collection Facebook page, there's a link. Matt usually gives me 3 or 4 days to offer them to the followers of Mystery Collection before he puts them on sale, because they sell out.
Yeah,
we sell out every show we do in Greeley, and it's nice. It's nice, but it also is, I always get the phone calls. You know, hey, can I get tickets to you? It's all, I'm like, hey, sorry. You
know? Sorry. Yeah. No. I know that drill.
But we're offering two different levels of tickets. The main ticket's $30, and the VIP is $60. And what you get is you get in an hour and a half early to the room, and Matt's going to do a tasting of all different cocktails and all of his boozes. And then you get a Mystery Collection t-shirt. You get to pick which Mystery Collection t-shirt you want.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Check it out. Facebook, The Mystery Collection, to check out Paul coming up on the 29th at 477 Distilling. But before then, we're going to see you next week, a week from today, actually.
Wednesday night.
With the Boys and Girls Clubs of Weld County.
As my kids are referring to it as the pants off, dance off.
That's it.
Well, we are going to be judges in this. And if the pants are off, you may be deducted a couple of points.
Bonus points from me.
All right.
Two different judges here. Sugar free.
Well,
all right. That's right.
It's very fun. I've been. I feel terrible for my dance partner. She is amazing. She's a really good, great dancer. Very creative. And I'm just terrible.
Are you violently Caucasian when it comes to the dance floor?
I don't even know. It's almost transparent. I mean, it's. I'm terrible.
What dance are you doing?
Yes. Yeah.
My partner Sophia is a pop and lock hip hop dancer.
Oh, good God.
Right.
God.
And so she's probably, I'll bet she doesn't weigh 90 pounds, and I'll bet she's not 4'11". I'm 235, 6'1", and, with my shoes on, and I'm a little bit bigger than she is. So we are doing a Little Red Riding Hood, Big Bad Wolf routine.
Ah.
I am not the wolf.
What? Oh, God.
And we have rewritten the ending to where the wolf kills Little Red Riding Hood.
That is incredible.
So that's a surprise, but you guys will see it anyway. And I had one requirement. She did all the mixing, and she did the music has Rockwell, Somebody Watching Me. Remember that?
Yeah,
song?
I certainly do.
And then some song by like Duck Sauce called Big Bad Wolf, which I've never heard before. But I had one requirement. You got to sneak a Slayer song in there. So the opening is Raining Blood by Slayer. The opening. So you'll recognize a little bit if you're a Slayer fan. That was my one requirement. And really, that's all I care about is that I get to be on stage with Slayer playing. So that's,
well, and you're representing the Madison Clubhouse for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Weld County. Yep. Right now, I will say that Paul is leading the way.
He's smoking.
With the money raised. He's just a couple $100 ahead of Ryan Roth.
Who's Ryan Roth's one of my absolute best friends. And if you don't give money to me, give money to Ryan.
I will say we had Liz Ferris in here who's competing. She was in here yesterday. Great event. Really looking forward to it. But what, just quick. What incentivized you to go be a part of this? What about Boys and Girls Club of Weld County?
I have a dear friend that lives around Atlanta, and he grew up in Cleveland. And I was talking to him one time about his growing up in Cleveland, and he said that he would not be alive had it not been for the Boys and Girls Club.
Really?
That sometimes it was the only hot meal he got. He was in and out of foster homes most of his life, and he said sometimes it was the only hot meal he got. Sometimes he'd stay there till it closed because he knew he'd get home, and his foster parents would be so drunk they wouldn't beat him. So he'd stay there. And so when I got this opportunity, I called him and I said, "What do you think?" And he told me some more stories. And so I'm doing it in honor of my buddy. He's a fellow magician, one that I like. And we all don't start at the same starting point in life. And some of us have opportunities. And I have an opportunity to stand in front of an audience every day that I want. And why not take that opportunity to stand in front of an audience and do something for other people?
I love your spirit, man. Yeah. I really do. It's what drew me to you right away. I could just feel that connection. Quickly, if people wanted to donate and help you get even further, how could they get to your page? And I know you've got great incentives as
well. If you go to the Mystery Collection on Facebook, I have a website, but it go to the Facebook. I have a list of incentives. For like the $250 level, you get a customized Mystery Collection Ouija board. Not haunted, I promise. And I'll do shows. You get t-shirts or hoodies. So that's the best way to do it. It's the pinned post on the Mystery Collection Facebook page.
Fantastic.
Yeah. If you scroll down a little bit more, there's the link for tickets that are available for the 477 Distilling show. I have them through the weekend. And then they'll go public on Monday. Matt will post it at 477's social media on Monday. So if you want, it will sell out. I feel terrible always bragging about that, but it's the truth.
No.
The Greeley shows sell out in a matter of days.
Go check it out. Again, the Mystery Collection on Facebook or straight through the link, bgcwell.org/dancing, to go and donate to Paul. Paul, I'm looking forward to it. This has been an absolute pleasure, my friend.
Thanks for
having me. We need to have you back.
Yeah, there's no way.
There's an invite. You've got to be coming back in here.
Well, you guys have me come. I'm you know, Brian, I'm a talker, and I've got stories.
We're just scratching the surface.
I'm a very, very lucky kid, and I've you do things for the story, and hopefully that Ernest Hemingway quote, you know, people will be saying my name for a long time after I'm gone.
They will.
Because of the stories I've done with different people.
Paul, awesome. Yeah. It's been our pleasure this morning. Thank you so much. Check it out, the Mystery Collection, again on Facebook. That'll be July 29th at 477 Distilling. You can watch Paul's show. Paul, thank you so much, my man.
Great. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back on the other side. Good morning, NOCO on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310. KFK.